Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to the book of John, and as you know, we're in chapter 14, where we've been for 3 or 4 weeks now. If you would, let's stand together, book of John chapter 14 and verse 27. John 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this peace that is mentioned. And Lord, we pray that each and every one of us this day has that peace that only the Lord can give. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. If you look up the word peace in your thesaurus, there are two ideas of peace. One of agreement, like between nations or between neighbors, of agreement. But also one of calmness. And under calmness, you would find the thought of serenity, contentment, harmony. That's what peace is. But if you don't have peace, then you can have conflict, disorder, disturbance, disruption. And I would say that's what we see in today's world. A lot of conflict, a lot of disorder, a lot of disturbance, a lot of disruption. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." We know that once again we have the thoughts of Roe versus Wade, and we think of the abortion issue. And have we really had peace because we have legalized abortion in our society? I have read many accounts of women that 2 and 3 and 10 years after their abortion still live with the guilt. And how they said, "Well, nobody told me. Nobody explained to me." And the fact of the matter is, when a nation kills as many as our nation has been killing in the form of abortion, we know that God will bring judgment someday and maybe soon. But it says at the end of verse 27, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Have you ever pondered what it must have been like not to have had Jesus after they'd had him for 3 years? Many years ago, this church suffered a great loss. And if you are part of our church in the sense of longstanding, you remember Don Cochran. And Don Cochran may have been one of our greatest members. He was one that was not afraid to put the pedal to the metal. He was not one to put the foot on the brakes to slow the church down, but he wanted the church to go forward, to show faith. And when Don Cochran died as a young man, all too soon, he left a great hole in our church. His wife would move away and take with them their children. But when Jesus was to die on the cross and to be buried and to ascend up into heaven, there was certainly a hole in their lives. And yet Jesus is saying to them, "Peace I leave with you." Rarely do we think of death bringing peace, but yet the death of Christ brings peace to us. Peace is of heavenly origin. 1 Corinthians 14:35 says, "God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." So if God is the author of peace, who is the author of confusion? Our enemy. The devil and his angels. The demons. They are the ones that bring conflict and confusion to our society. And the humanist keeps trying to tell us, well, it's all right. It's because it's what we want to do. And yet, may I say this, that no matter what sin they try to justify or what sin they try to legalize, it does not bring peace. It only brings discontentment. Peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And we know that there are six other fruits. But love brings joy, and joy brings peace. Peace our Lord can give us. Peace is a product of the cross. We know that the cross was a place of torment. We know that the cross was a place of death. Nobody survived the cross. We have heard of people that have been electrocuted and survived. We know that there were those that were hung and survived. And so they had to change the wording so that they were hung until dead, or they would be electrocuted until dead. But we find that the product of the cross brings peace. What cross? The cross of Jesus Christ. We find that peace is a product of obedience. In the book of Leviticus chapter 26, verses 3 and 6, it says, if ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments, I will give you peace. When we are obedient to the Lord, we will have peace. When we try to do things our way, we'll have discomfort and confusion and turmoil. F.E. Marsh writes in his 1963 book entitled Light from the Lamp of Truth. He writes, quote, grace, mercy, and peace are the trio of gospel blessings. Grace is love planning to bless. Mercy is love acting. And peace is love enjoyed. Are you enjoying your walk with the Lord? May I say this, if you're not enjoying your walk with the Lord, it's because you're not right with the Lord. Marsh gives the following acronym. The P stands for purchased peace. The E stands for embodied peace. The A stands for abiding peace. The C for complete peace. And the E for everlasting peace. And I thought his thoughts were so good that I'm going to give them to you today. Purchased peace. There are many that talk about making their peace with God. Have you ever heard someone say that? I've made my peace with God. May I say that is an impossibility? We don't make peace with God. God provides peace. Man can never make his peace with God, but there is something better, and that is that Christ has made peace by the blood of his cross. The purchase price of the peace of the gospel is the blood of Christ. For Colossians 1:20 says, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. We are not saved by our good works, but we do good works to show that we are saved. I don't care how good you think you are, it's not good enough. Because sin has created a wedge between us and God. You say, but what if I don't kill anybody? And what if I never steal? And what if I don't cuss? And what if I don't rob? And what if I don't hurt people? And what if I let people onto Van Dyke in front of me? Good. That's the way we should be, right? Will that get you into heaven? It will not. You say, well, why won't it? Because you've sinned. You say, well, I've done more good works than bad. It doesn't matter. You've done at least one sin. And that's enough to keep you out of heaven. It's enough to send you to hell. Well, you say, well, how can I get saved? You get saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. By accepting that sacrificial death. by coming to him and saying, Lord, I know that I am a sinner and I need to be saved and I have accepted thee as my Savior. Please forgive me and Lord, heal my soul. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, ye are bought with the price. What price? The price of Jesus' blood. If you could save yourself, Jesus Christ did not have to come and die. The E stands for embodied peace. Peace that's within us. He is our peace. It is not merely something from Christ, but Christ himself. And Ephesians 2:14 tells us that he has broken down that middle wall of partition between us and God. We don't have to go through a priest to ask our petitions. We can go directly to him by praying. You're not to pray to angels. You're not to pray to a long lost person who has gone on before us. We are to pray to God, to him, and praying in the name of Jesus Christ. We have an abiding peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. It's not a part-time gift, it's a full-time gift. This gift is to the believer. The world doesn't understand our peace. They mock our peace. They don't know why we believe the way we do. They may say we're superstitious, but the fact of the matter is we believe in what the Word of God has to say. We know that this world will pass away. Not too long ago, the area that I have a few pieces of old coins. You have a few old coins in your house someplace? When I graduated from high school, Donna's parents gave me a 1971 half dollar. Anybody remember who was on the half dollar in 1971? President Kennedy. So I have this coin from 1971. I'll ask our resident antique authorities. Brother Rush, is that 1971 half dollar worth very much? 50 cents? 50 cents. If that. Thank you very much. I should have spent it then. Yeah. But I also have a $2 bill from way back. And somehow that $2 bill in with my coins got wet. And now my $2 bill is stained. Isn't that sad? So now my $2 bill is probably worth $1.50. But what happens with most things in your house? They get old. They get thrown away. Yes. But how about you? What's going to happen to you? You know, there are some that believe that when you die, you're just going to be buried like your old dog. But that's not what God says. And so we need to prepare ourselves for that next life. He gives us peace that will abide forever. Not only a peace that will take care of us through this time, but peace that will be with us for the next life. The C stands for complete peace. The peace of God is perfect in its nature and perfect in its keeping. Notice Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I still remember being there at Henry Ford Hospital, and hospice had come in to talk to my mother, to my dad, to family members. And the hospice woman wanted to give some peace to my mother. And so my mother began to explain to her why she already had peace. And she began to share the gospel. And why? Because she had the peace that only the Lord can give. See, to the death of the saint, there's a better thing coming. And we thank God for that better thing. While in this life, his peace can be ours. It's encircling, it's all about us. And to be complete in Christ is to have complete peace. Which brings us to E, everlasting peace. And I say, Pastor Paul, E is the last letter in peace. And you're already to E. Does that mean we might get out a couple of minutes early? You might, because I'm getting hungry. I would ask you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans chapter 8. Everlasting peace. I remember when Donna and I stood here in front of the pulpit and my dad performed the ceremony, and Donna and I went from being two to being one. May I ask you this? Does that mean that Donna and I have never had any problems? Hello? No, we've had a few problems. You say, Pastor Paul's, whose fault was it? The dogs. Matthew, Brian. You say, well, how about you? Never. Do you believe that? No? Wow. I'm going to get you. What about Donna? Oh, they didn't want to say anything about you. Yes. See, being married to Donna hasn't brought peace, everlasting peace into my life. There are times that, and I don't want to get myself crucified here, but there are things that Donna does sometimes that literally drive me out of my mind. Now, afterwards, if you come up and ask me what they are, I won't tell you. And you know this, there are some things that I do that drive my wife literally out of her mind. She probably says, what in the world was I thinking? I should have listened. But the fact of the matter is, the Lord can give us peace in our marriage. He can give us peace. True peace comes from true love, and God is love. Are you in the book of Romans chapter 8? We're going to begin reading at verse 35. True peace comes from true love. And it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Can something separate us from Christ's love? No. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Can these things separate us from the love of God? And yet, can we go through these things? Absolutely. There have been those that have died in tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, and peril, and sword. They have died, and yet they can still have the love of God and the peace of God. Verse 36, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. In other words, Paul is saying to those people at Rome, hey, you may die for the faith. And there are those in our world today that are dying for the faith. Can they still have the peace of God? Absolutely, because they can have the love of God. Verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Yes, we may go through the hard times of life. And some of us are going through the hard times of life right now. And yet the Lord can give us peace and give us comfort. Verse 38 says, for I am persuaded. What's it mean to be persuaded? It means that I believe. For I am persuaded that neither, notice, death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I am persuaded that these things will not stop us from having his love. And what's the first one? Death. Death will not separate us from the love of God. For to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be with Jesus Christ? Can you imagine what it's going to be like to be with our Savior? It says that life won't keep us. It will not keep us, or nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor that the evil one cannot keep us from the love of God. And it says that nor things to come. Do you ever worry about what's coming down the pike? What's coming down the road? Well, it could be good things, praise God, but it could be rough things. He says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Jesus said to his disciples, and he is going to be arrested in just a few hours. He is going to go through the mockery of trials. He is going to be beaten and scourged. He's going to have a crown of thorns planted on his head. He is going to be taken out to a cross and crucified. And yet he says to them, peace I leave with you. And yet all the disciples would go through tribulation. And 10 of them would die martyrs' deaths. And even John would be boiled in oil. And he says, I leave you peace. He doesn't say, I'll take away the problems. But he leaves the peace. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth unto you. May I say this, there is no peace in the Super Bowl. And not just because the Lions aren't there again. May I say this, there's no peace in your IRAs and in your material things, because all those things could come to an end. They could all be gone in an instant. Your health can be gone. But the love of God lasts forever. And the peace of God is yours. Shall we stand together? Just as I am is our invitation song. The Lord's desire is that you will come just as you are and accept him as your Savior. And if you have accepted him as your Savior, his desire is that you walk with him on a daily basis. Walk with him as you would one that you love. The book of Amos says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? We need to agree with him. And don't expect him to agree with you. Just as I am, without one plea. We'll sing that in just a moment. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would bless this invitation time. Give us strength and encouragement, Lord. And Lord, if there is one here today that doesn't know thee as Savior, may this be the day that they will say, yes, Lord. I give my heart, I give my soul to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.